Do not be afraid, Abram. Do not be afraid, little flock. In 2012, my wife and I made the journey from our apartment in Decatur, Georgia, to Montgomery, Alabama, where I would spend the next 40 days at Commissioned Officer Basic Training for the U.S. Air Force at Maxwell Air Force Base. On the drive, we stopped at a Cracker Barrel. You ever been to a Cracker Barrel? When we stopped there for lunch, and I basically pushed around my salad on my plate with my fork. My stomach was in knots, and I didn't have very much of an appetite at all. When we finally arrived at Maxwell, at the location where we were told to be, I saw this big pile of luggage, and all these men and women were falling in line, while somebody, a drill sergeant, basically shouted at them to hurry up, stand up straight, cup their hands, and so on and so forth. And I looked at my wife and I said, I really don't want to go there. But I had no choice. I kissed her goodbye, and the day unfolded from there. I felt like a sheep that was being led through a pen. It was stressful, to say the least. And at the end of the day that felt like it lasted forever, all the new officer recruits were told to sleep tight, you know, air quotes, by our drill instructors. But that left me with a weird feeling. My spidey senses were tingling, so to speak. And I remember being afraid that something was going to happen in the middle of the night. So what did I do? I decided to go to sleep fully clothed, dressed in my uniform, ready to be woken up at 3:30 or so in the morning. And, sure enough, at 3:30 in the morning, I awoke to someone pounding on all the doors, yelling, "Hurry up, get moving, get up." And when the drill instructor came to my door, I was ready to go. I was ready to hit the ground running. Now, for the first week or so, I slept with my boots on out of fear. I was prepared for anything. But the thing is, I didn't really get good sleep with those boots on, so I couldn't get meaningful rest, and I couldn't keep them on forever. Heck, I could barely sleep with the sheets tucked in on my bed. Eventually, they had to come off. Do not be afraid, Abram. Do not be afraid, little flock. You know, I think of this story about sleeping with my boots on because I think it's a good way to get into our scripture lessons today. Because among many things, the lessons we have this weekend really have two bookends. They say, do not be afraid, but also be prepared for what comes next. On a weekend which follows one of the deadliest shooting sprees that our country has seen this year, not in decades, but in a year, where 32 lives were taken senselessly, you might have internalized some of that fear. And both of our scriptures for today deal with, in their own way, fear and being held back by fear, by risk, by worry. But they give us a witness to the invitation of God. Do not be afraid. Don't feel like you have to sleep with your boots on every night. I think for us in our own lives and our life as a church and as a country right now, maybe it's not a bad thing for us to hear. So I want to chat with you a little bit about this today. A couple years ago, at 42 years of age, there was a skydiver by the name of Luke Aikens, and he made history by becoming the first person to leap without a parachute, my gosh, and land into a net. Now, after a 2-minute free fall from 25,000 feet, he landed dead center in a 100-by-100-foot net. Now, he lived to talk about this. There's only so much calculation, physics, you could do to prevent from being completely pancaked in this situation. I wonder what would have happened if he failed. If he would have failed, you know, he would have died. It's not really a wonder thing. There was a tremendous amount of risk. I wonder what each of us might be capable of doing if we knew we couldn't fail at it. What would you love to try? You know, maybe it's not something like skydiving or something like that. Maybe it's taking a class, getting your degree, asking someone out on a date, trying out for a play. You know, it doesn't have to be something above and beyond, like it's out of an action film. We've been wired to overestimate risk so we don't do things like free falling from 25,000 feet in the air. But what would you do if you couldn't fail? What would you do if you couldn't fail? The possibility of happiness, or a better job, or better relationships, or better life in general. Maybe those are things that you would strive for if you knew you couldn't fail. Now, Abram, that's Abraham, in our Old Testament lesson, he receives a promise from God. God says, "Do not be afraid. I will guide you, I will protect you, and give you a future you could never have imagined." And that's a lovely promise from God. Abram listens to God. He moves his family across a continent to an unknown future. Now, that's not skydiving, but still, that's what he does, and that's what vision and promise do. They enable you to do things you never would have dreamed. That's what the call of God empowers Abram to do in our story from Genesis. To not be afraid. Caroline Lewis is a scholar, and she writes, "There will be times in Abraham's life where he will fail, where he will fail spectacularly, but the promise of God that God will give him a future he could have never imagined overshadows the fear of what could happen anyways." And that's pretty amazing. What would you do if you couldn't fail? If you weren't afraid of failure? I wonder. Now, in Luke's gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, and I think to each of us, "Do not be afraid, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you all things." It's from this promise of God, "Do not be afraid. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you all things." It comes an invitation to share, to give away stuff, to prioritize our lives, to be prepared for what comes. And if we were afraid of scarcity or focused solely on ourselves or our own future, we wouldn't do these things. We wouldn't give stuff away. Jesus gives us the promise that it's God's good pleasure to give us all good things. And from that promise, we can give things away. We can care for others. We can lose ourselves in service to one another. I like what Matthew Skinner, he's a professor at Luther Seminary, I like what he writes. He says, "Almsgiving isn't about offerings that help those with less money. It must also be about sharing power and advantage." So in other words, Jesus isn't just saying give all your stuff to Goodwill and sell everything and, you know, give the money away. He's saying share in the power, and that's really a leap of faith. Because the point isn't to feel good as a giver, but rather to usher in the kingdom of God by your giving, to level the playing field, to redistribute power, wealth, and resources, to give those who have nothing that they might do something with, something, to enable others to do things that they never previously could have dreamed. You know, this is kind of what God enables Abram to do. And that is what the promise that Jesus enables the disciples and us to do. In a sense, this word from Jesus is both a promise and a call to us to level the playing field for all people, to equalize power, to focus not so much on self-security and building ourselves up that we forget about others. You know, hopefully we listen to the invitation of Jesus to be not afraid, but to give of ourselves to others and prioritize and be prepared for what comes next. Do not be afraid, Abram. Do not be afraid, little flock. You know, this is astounding how different this message is than what we are clobbered with day in, day out of every year, right? Caroline Lewis writes, "In our world today, we're often told to be afraid." And I remember a communications professor I had in college once said, "If it bleeds, it leads," in terms of the news. And so we are told that there are things and people and stuff that we should fear. And I agree that there are people and stuff that we should fear, but it's like all we hear about on social media and on the news. But here in our scripture, we get a message that is so radically different. We are told something that just flips that on its head. It says, do not be afraid. Instead, be prepared. You know, be prepared. And act upon in ushering God's kingdom by sharing your power. Today, in the wake of a lot of bloody violence in the United States, it's important to note that 2 out of 3 of the mass shootings that were carried out over the last 2 weeks have been done by persons who have espoused white supremacist ideologies. And there is a supremacist ideology that essentially asserts that non-European white immigrants will replace white Europeans through demographics, and eventually Caucasian persons will lose their footing, their status, their power. You know, they call that replacement theory. It's an evil thing, I would say, that theory. But you can tell from the lashing out, from the people acting upon this, carrying out mass murder, that the redistribution of power that Jesus talks about in our gospel lesson is of real threat to those that are in power. And it is scary to them. And perhaps that is why Jesus says, don't be afraid. Because it will be scary to lose some of that power in the name of the kingdom of God. And Jesus essentially says, do not be afraid, but be prepared. And what might that preparation for the kingdom of God look like? If the kingdom of God looks like power redistributed to the powerless? I don't know. But Jesus is acutely aware that it may be a fearful experience to those of us who cling to power or status. And so he says, do not be afraid. You know, a little fear is a healthy thing. It might help you be prepared for the drill sergeant who's going to come bursting into your dorm room in the middle of the night, like sleeping with your boots on. But when it impacts your vision of tomorrow, like the fear of the other, how you interact with your neighbor, that's not a good thing. I think in our personal lives, in our church life, as a culture, it's maybe not a bad thing for us to hear and live into the invitation of God to not be afraid, to take some risks, to try something new, to do something differently and boldly different, to get involved in unexpected places, to invite a stranger or an outsider, to go where we've never gone before, or even to risk failure. The call of the church today, or at least one of the calls, is that we are, as individual people of faith and as a collection of God's people gathered under one roof, we are rooted, so rooted, by the promise of God's good pleasure and our belovedness as God's children, that we don't have to be afraid, despite all the things out there that tell us that we should be. Because all this, despite all the cultural messages that say, be afraid of the world, of others, of one another, we can have courage. Because we are born for community and we find a sense of self and meaning and purpose, and we trust God's promises to give ourselves away in love. So as we continue our service, may we not be afraid. Might we be affirmed of God's blessings in our homes, at work, where we volunteer, even here at church and out there in the world. Because ours is a God who invites us to risk, to dream, to strive, counting on us to see those in need as neighbor and beloved children of God. And ours is a God that arms us with promises to live into and for the kingdom of God that Jesus proclaims. So be not afraid. Be not afraid. Amen.